So firstly, just in a sort of a general kind of picture, how is COVID-19 impacting researchers?
Yes, so the impacts can be quite different depending on context, like depending on what you work on. But if you had to work, say, in a laboratory or in the field, for example, or with people, with animals, it's been quite disruptive because in many cases, people cannot go to work. And due to social distancing and physical distancing requirements, some data collection has been halted completely. And also, as we have seen in Melbourne now with school and childcare closed, people have to take care of their children somehow. So they have to stay at home and homeschool their kids, which means that there's not a lot of time left over for actual research. And if we look, I guess, more broadly internationally, we do work with people in the United States, in Europe, in the UK, and their lives are quite drastically affected. So those collaborations are not moving forward. So it has impacted us a lot. But the thing that has come out more recently is that since a lot of research is done at universities, if universities are going to, say, cut a lot of staff, including researchers, that uncertainty on our jobs is really affecting our ability to do research and teaching and research training.
How long-lasting are these effects likely to be? I mean, it sometimes feels like we're in a bit of a foot race. We're just waiting on sort of a shot to come through that's going to solve all our problems. But in a lot of fields, these problems are going to go far past, you know, once we finally have a vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely acknowledge that many sectors are suffering. And researchers are not the only people who are suffering, obviously. But I think when it comes to research, so to get to the level of training that I am now, so I'm considered an early career researcher, but I've still been training for more than 10 years. So if I lost my job tomorrow, or someone like me lost their job tomorrow, it would take 10 years to train someone to the same level as me. So even though we may have a vaccine, in the best case scenario, perhaps next year, which is available to the community, if we lose researchers now, are we going to promise them their jobs when it comes back, when things sort of return more to normal? Or will we just not have as many researchers and have a 10 or 15 year gap in discovery?
You've written an article for The Conversation, and in it you've said that the government encouraging STEM degrees is doomed to fail. So in terms of replacing some of those people, as you mentioned there, can you explain to us why that might be?
Yeah, so I mean, perhaps doomed to fail is rather dramatic. but, yeah, I don't know, we're drama queens. But if we encourage more students into STEM, firstly, the current teaching and research workforce is feeling rather anxious. So, you know, we're trying to provide the best possible solutions for our students, the best possible teaching. But it can be difficult when you don't know if your job is on the line or if your colleague's job is on the line. And more realistically, if we're looking to next year when, I mean, we've seen in the news, all these universities are going to cut 500 staff, 400 staff, all of this. Surely we're starting to ask ourselves, if we increase the number of students who are coming into STEM degrees, who's actually going to teach the students? Who's going to run the labs that train those students? Who's going to be the professional staff who make the teaching facilities continue to run or administer student support? Just from like a completely practical perspective, if there aren't enough staff, who will provide for these increased number of students?
So what kind of solutions do we actually have?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So in our report, we had a number of recommendations to employers, government, and funders, and particularly for in terms of universities. So a lot of research, as I said, is done at universities, and we're trying to ask universities to consider changes to workload structures, consider the equity, diversity, and inclusion when it comes to the redundancies that they might have to undergo. But more importantly, I think for the government, we're asking that they could extend JobKeeper to public universities to relieve the financial pressure that public universities are under right now. And for the community, I guess we ask that the community will continue to support scientists as they have always done. It is Science Week, so there's a lot of activities which are happening throughout the country. And it's really your chance to kind of show support for your scientists locally and nationally. A lot of events are online now, and to kind of get into that charge to say that we need to petition the government to support scientists in these difficult times.
Well, it is going to have some considerable impacts. Yi Lian, thank you very much. I do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.